Thank you, Brother Robin. Good morning. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open it to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. It's page 813 in the little black pew Bibles in front of you. I encourage everyone to please be in His Word with me. We've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and we come today to a historical event of the paralytic that is brought to Jesus. This event, this encounter with the paralytic is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it seems Matthew shortens it to 126 words, while Mark and Luke provide more detail with 196 and 212 words, respectively. That means Matthew uses 30 words less than Mark and 86 words less than Luke. It seems like Matthew writes this gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, he writes this gospel and he takes the attitude towards from inspiration from the Holy Spirit just to get to the point. This event happened. So those people at that time would know truth about Jesus. This event happened that we may know truth. So what is the main point of the encounter? What is it that they were to know? Well, we can look down to verse 6 and we find the answer. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. If you have the ESV Bible, there is a man-made heading before a lot of passages, and the one before this passage says what? Jesus heals a paralytic. You may want to add to that, Jesus forgives the sins of a paralytic. Why did this happen back then? Why did this happen, and what does it mean to us for now? This story, this gospel, the entire Bible is about God's beloved Son, Jesus. Matthew writes about Jesus. Jesus who is born according to the Old Testament prophets. Jesus who reveals much truth and wisdom as he teaches with power and authority. Jesus reaches deep into the hearts of people while rebuking the heartless, shallow, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. Jesus calmed the winds and the waters, and now in our passage today, Jesus forgives sins. This happened back then so they could know that Jesus is God and that he has authority on earth to forgive sins. This happened to reveal to them and to us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and the forgiver of sins. It's also here for the glory of God. Let's read our passage, Matthew 9, 1 through 8. And getting into the boat, he, Jesus, crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Let's pray together. And Father, now we are gathered here together as your children, and we are opening your word. Father, there is truths in this passage that are for us. And I pray, dear God, that your word and your Holy Spirit would take these truths and plant them deep within us, that our faith may deepen, our love for you may deepen, our love for each other will deepen, and Father, that you will be glorified. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we'll just work through this, and along the way, we're going to see five quick breaks or points or whatever you want to call it. First, we're going to see that Jesus speaks to the paralytic. Jesus speaks, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And then second, we're going to see the reaction by the scribes. The scribes react to Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven, by having evil thoughts. And then Jesus is going to speak. So number three, Jesus is going to speak to rebuke the scribes. And then fourth, Jesus is going to speak that we may know something. Something very important, that they may know something. That they may know that Jesus forgives sins. And then fifth, there's going to be a chain reaction at the end resulting in God being glorified. So let's begin in verse 1. And we'll work right through this. Verse 1. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. So Jesus gets in a boat and he crosses the Sea of Galilee and he went home to his own city, which at this point was Capernaum. This is where he lived, and this was the center of his ministry. So people there would have known of him well. It was an area where he was well known. Look down at verse 8. When the crowd saw it, there were crowds of people there. If you read the other Gospels' accounts, there's lots and lots of people. So then the paralytic is brought in. Look at it in verse 2. This was no small task considering the crowds. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. This paralytic lying on a bed was brought to Jesus through great effort. And then we see the point or break number one. Jesus speaks to the paralytic. Look at it, second part of verse 2. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus saw their faith and tells him his sins are forgiven. This is the first time and the only time in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus, specific for an individual, forgives his sins. Notice the tenderness. My son, take heart. Be encouraged. May your heart be encouraged, he's saying. A heart not burdened. A heart that is not heavy. A heart that is alive because your sins are forgiven. Jesus speaks to the paralytic and he says, right now as I speak this moment, you are not guilty before God. Your sins are forgiven. I bet you could have heard a pin drop as Jesus said this. Forgiven. Forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And then part two here, we see the reaction of the scribes. And behold, in verse 3, and behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. The scribes, well, they were experts in the law. They wrote volumes of books on the law based on the principles of the law, and they added to it, and they put undue burdens upon the people. The scribes did not obey God by faith. Rather, they loved their self-righteous selves. They did not love their God and their neighbors. And by saying, your sins are forgiven, Jesus was setting himself up to be God because only God can forgive sins. So there was contempt in even the word, this man, This man, his words and his actions are in violation of the power and the majesty of God. To say your sins are forgiven is to claim you are God. And this was a crime worth stoning over. So then point three comes along, and Jesus speaks to the scribes in verse 4. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk?" Knowing their thoughts. Knowing their thoughts. Brothers and sisters, this is the God we serve. Knowing their thoughts. No one, and I mean nothing ever created, is outside the complete knowledge and control of our God. Their thoughts were evil, which revealed the nature of their hearts. So Jesus poses an interesting question. Look at it in verse 5. For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? They're both easy to say. Both are easy to say. Only one can be seen, though. Only one can be proved. Both are easy to say, but only one, and only one, can be accomplished by God himself. The Jews always demand what? A sign. The Jews always want a sign. This is their MO. They want a sign. They want to see it. So then number 4 comes along. Verse 6, Jesus speaks that they may know. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." That you may know. That you may know that I have authority to forgive sins. Jesus is doing this for them so they may know. Keep your finger here and turn with me to chapter 1 in Matthew. What is it that Jesus is revealing? What is it that Jesus is revealing to them? Well, we can find out in chapter 1 when we look at the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Watch closely now. Verse 21. "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Jesus reveals for all to see and to hear that he is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and he is the Savior of the world. He is the Lamb that will take away the sins of the world. That you may know. That you may know that I am God, and I am here, and I have authority on this earth to forgive sins. Back to chapter 9. That you may know. Now we see the second part of verse 6. He said to the paralytic, "Rise and pick up your bed and go home." And after Jesus speaks, we see number 5, the chain reaction that ends in God's glory. Verse 7. And the paralytic rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. The paralytic, who was carried there on his bed, walked home. Fear. Fear. True fear. Not awe, not reverence. Fear took over the crowds, and they glorified God. They had experienced God, and they reacted the way sinners do in God's presence. They fear, and they give God his due glory. So how does this passage help us? What is our takeaway? I want to park on the truth of knowing and believing that Jesus forgives sin is an encouragement to our heart. Listen now. The result of knowing, truly knowing and believing that Jesus forgives sins makes his word take heart real to us. Knowing and believing that Jesus really does forgive sins gets to our heart with encouragement. So right now I want to take this in two directions. First, for believers in Christ, those who have repented of their sin and have faith in Christ and Him alone for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, those who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit and are sealed for eternity, hear Jesus' words. Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. This passage is given to us in order to deepen our faith in Christ and our joy in Christ. Turn to the book of Isaiah with me, chapter 13, page 576 in the Pew Bibles. Chapter 13 of Isaiah. Recently been having conversations with Pastor Dave and Pastor Robin and others about the bigness of God. The bigness of God. We tend to shrink them down. The bigness of God. And last week, Pastor Dave preached on Isaiah 6 and revealed to us some of the bigness of God. God is eternal. God is holy. God is majestic. God is almighty. I'm praying God bursts the small bubble my mind tends to put God in. The bigness of God. One of the bubbles that I pray God bursts in my mind about Him is the reality and the truth of His eternal anger and fierceness and wrath. Yes. God is eternal, He is holy, He is majestic, He's almighty, but God has wrath. We're going to look at God's wrath here in Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 13, the coming wrath of God. This is the word of our Lord. Isaiah 13, 6. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty, it will come. Therefore, all hands will be feeble, and every human heart will melt. They will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. And they will be in anguish like a woman in labor, and they will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give off their light. The sun will be dark at its rising. The moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp and the arrogant and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless. I will make people more rare than fine gold and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of His fierce anger. God is God. Fearing Him. Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. God's wrath is real. God is absolutely a loving and a gracious and perfect in His goodness. God is holy, holy, holy. He is just and He is righteous, and God is perfect in His judgment. The bigness of God includes His righteousness, His just judgment, and His wrath. And Jesus comes along and says, "Take heart. My son and daughter, your sins are forgiven." Oh, brothers and sisters, the deeper we understand the eternal intensity of the wrath of God, the more our hearts should be encouraged and the more joy we should have in Christ. The more we understand what Jesus endured for us, God forsake Jesus on the cross, and Jesus experienced that wrath for us. The more we understand what Jesus endured for us, the more we will love Him, and the more we will love others. And the more we grasp the truth of the devastation sin has caused, and the penalty that we will never face for it, the more we will worship and glorify our God. So I had said the result of knowing and believing that Jesus forgives sins makes His words take heart real to us, and they should. Secondly, so as believers, then our hearts should be encouraged by this passage that our sins are forgiven. So secondly, for those of you whose sin is not forgiven, I present Jesus to you. I present Jesus to you. As the people 2,000 years ago were astonished, just as they knew only God can forgive sins, then look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is the one and only path to God the Father. Reconciliation to God. He walked this earth sinless, and Jesus was nailed to the cross for your sins. He experienced God's wrath for you. But you must believe. You must believe. You must trust in His sacrifice and nothing else. You must call upon the name of Jesus. Repent of your sin, believe on Jesus, and take heart, because then your sins are forgiven. Let's pray together. Father, we cry out, "Hallowed be Thy name." You are holy, 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 and the whole earth is full of Your glory. There is none like You. Jesus, You went to the cross for us. Jesus, You experienced wrath for us as You cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" Jesus, You declared with Your dying breath, "It is finished." Father, You raised Jesus from the dead, and death has been defeated, and our eternal lives are secure in Christ. What then do we say to these things? Father, if You are for us, who can be against us? You did not spare Your own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will You not also with Him graciously give us all things? Father, who shall bring any charge against Your elect? It is You who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one that died. More than that, who was raised, who is at Your right hand, and is indeed interceding for us right now. Father, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through you who loved us. For we are sure, Father, that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray, Father, we take heart because our sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.